Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We have on very, very, very special guest in the know of everything, Mr. Mark Edge from Free Talk Live and LRN.fm. We tried to do the show this just now, the morning. LRN, everybody was excited, looking forward to and seeing what was up. But, Ian's a linchpin guy on LRN, and, you know, you get run over by a bus or incarcerated by the feds, you know, stuff happens. So until they are convinced me that they got it to where we're going to be able to do the show in the mornings, we'll just go ahead and hold off until they are able to get things done. But it's sad. I know a lot of people depend on it. There's a lot of affiliates and pirate radio, and it's built up into a thing on social media where they're broadcasting. I hear it all from you guys. It's not that I'm not trying. So what we'll do is we'll, you know, just kind of take the week off unless we're convinced otherwise, and get our stuff done, because yesterday was my 60th birthday.
Woo-hoo! Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, man. Damn. And then we got the bus engine is there. I went and laid hands on it. So they're installing that now. That will be done, you know, hopefully they're thinking like early, mid next week, which means never. But so it's within a couple of weeks, we'll be back on the road and we'll reformat the show in such a way as what we can do. And there's a lot of things that we haven't done because we were committed to LRN.fm, but we'll see if we can, you know, maintain the relationship. And if we can, you know, we're not going to, you know, kick you when you're down, Mark. But I mean, you know, we just got to do what we can do. And and you're kind of focused on like other stuff. I imagine you're like all lawyered up and meeting with people and being told what's up. You know, tell the audience everything that's going on that you can, will you please?
Well, sure. The first thing I'd like to say is that the Federal Bureau of Investigations busted in my studio, shot glass all over the place, ran a ramming rod on a armored truck through one of the windows, and maliciously came in and pulled wires out of cameras and the blinking boxes that make a radio network work. And I mean, honestly, that's why we're not on the air, is because they went through and just pulled wires, and we don't know where to put them back. You know, the training for when Ian was gone didn't include this wire goes here and this wire goes there. So that's basically what the problem is. But they took away six people, and Ian included. In fact, I'm holding in my hand right now, my formerly nicotine stained fingers, the order from the judge denying his bail. So he looks like he's going to be in jail for the time being. I spoke to him.
Was the judge a male or female?
The woman.
Okay, a woman. So, yeah, I think I saw the hearing. A lot of people did. It was amazing how many people on Zoom were, you know, watching this. And, you know, it really, I got the impression that made a really good case that, you know, by New Hampshire law and what they were doing, they had every indication that what they were doing was legal. Of course, the government doesn't like it, which is kind of the same thing as being illegal, you know, as far as they're concerned. But it's that he wasn't a flight risk, that he had businesses here, that he was open about it, that he talked to the, you know, New Hampshire authorities. Everybody's New Hampshire even changed their laws. I mean, I got the impression it was definitely a U.S. government, they don't like it, central banking FBI thing. And
oh yeah,
it was malicious, and they wanted to get some.
They're gonna drag out some little old ladies who got romance scammed or something like that, and they're gonna say, "See, Bitcoin is bad." But really, what this is, this is the bankers attempting to protect their monopoly on cryptocurrency. They're moving into the area, into the industry. They're trying to make it so that cryptocurrency is just banking once again. And they're trying to secure their cartel as they always have. And the people who are buying and selling Bitcoin without, you know, I don't even know. I mean, like Ian was doing KYC, we were, you know, the church was to the best of our knowledge, completely compliant within the law, and they, you know, come in and they throw everybody in jail.
Because they can. Well, yep,
because they can.
You guys have been a thorn in the side of government, you know, since the beginning, and sure. You know, so the history, because this, of course, is going to come out, and I'm sure it came out in the, you know, the hearings and so on, is years ago, the FBI took over a website that was serving child porn. Free Talk.
That's right.
And you and company came out and said, hey, you know, the FBI is, like, serving up child porn. You guys know that, right? You know, it was a honeypot thing that they were doing. When you brought that up, oh, hell no. They were like, hell no. So under the pretext, he said, well, there's somebody accessed, which obviously could have been them. You know, somebody accessed your router and was, you know, downloading child porn or said they were or something, came in, kicked and did the same thing, tore into the studio and so on. But boom, the next day, you guys were back up. So they didn't like that. So they wanted to make absolutely sure that all the wires got pulled. And so this was kind of a, so what was the result of that? You know, that case just kind of went away. You know, remember, as an advertiser, okay, I don't even know if you know this, Mark. Let me tell you what happened. Because, not because I had a show on LRN. I don't think that was it. It was because we had ads that played on LRN for freedomsphoenix.com. Because of that, we got a child porn package from whoever it was that had, so I wiped it from my mind. I mean, it was, you know, high res, get boom, delete that shit. And then you go into the delete box and delete that and delete, delete, that they were targeting the advertisers of Free Talk Live, that you are child porn stuff. This was government doing this. And it was a thing. And I'm like, what the hell? So whatever happened to that?
Well, they, like you said, they came in, they busted into the studio. They, honestly, the guys that came in that go around were much more the computer forensic squad as opposed to the knuckle draggers they sent in this time. The last time, basically, there was a warrant for the house, and they came in and they searched stuff. We basically never heard from them again. We did get emails just like you did, but they didn't stop. And, you know, they just kind of, well, they petered out at some point, but, you know, the feds weren't going after those people. They were going after us. And TJ the Spy, which is one of our co-hosts, he filed to get his electronics back years later, and they had never opened the evidence bags. I don't know what, you can draw whatever conclusion you want to draw from that, but all the evidence bags were the same as they had always been. They dated the day that of the raid, and they never did anything. And
they,
a lot of people
wanted to explain it to you.
Yeah, a lot of people think that it was just retaliatory, you know, for having gone on and said the Federal Bureau of Investigations was the largest distributor of child pornography on the planet in 3 weeks in March 2015. And, you know, that's a fact. There's no denying it. And I will, believe me, if there's some trial regarding this this case, I'm going to talk about the long and storied relationship that Free Talk Live has had with the Federal Bureau of Investigations and how I'm pretty good at making it look like this is retaliatory stuff. I have no idea what actually they're thinking, but
it's what they, you and I and Ian and all of us, you know, articulate in detail day after day is, you know, they're just the strong arm, the front, the gun, the badge, the face of they, them, those. It's just a gang with a flag. You know, you're not doing what they want you to do, and damn it, they got people for that. You know, so
yeah, they do. They got people for that.
That's a good thing. They got government. They got people for that. What? I don't know. Whatever the hell they want. You know.
Yeah.
But this is Free Talk Live. Talk about Free Talk Live a little bit. You know.
Sure.
LRN. We'll do Free Talk Live first. Tell us, like, how big is it? How many stations you have? What's the impact? And what kind of interfaces do you have with other government agencies?
Right. So, well, basically, the FBI, we seem to be the FBI's favorite radio program. We're on 200 radio stations across the United States. We've been on the air for almost 20 years, and we're pretty much, you know, out there, the biggest radio program, Liberty radio program, you know, in syndication. And, you know, we've done this for seven nights a week for many, many, many years. And I don't know. I mean, I best I can tell, they're just trying to take us off the air. They didn't have to rip those wires out the way they did. They did.
And, oh, they did. They had a memo.
Yeah.
You know, I give you an example. When Charles Goyette is a good friend and number one in the slot, super popular talk show host here, and he didn't support me. And he was on a Clear Channel. He was between Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. I mean, you know, that was definitely, he wasn't allowed to do that. So they tried to explain it to him. Nope, I'm not supporting the war. This way it go, well, you know, your contract will be over someday and you're gone. Well, they moved him tonight. They did whatever. And he wouldn't bend. So he came over to a station where I was broadcasting. And then later I became his producer. We were doing really well. We were on an Air America station because the liberals, the progressives, they thought, you know, you'd be an anti-war and you're libertarian. They didn't realize really what that meant. So before we even started doing the show, they went, wait, you're against like Medicare and Social Security and all these other entitlement stuff. We'll go contract, you know, but after within a few months, we're like kicking ass. You know, the remotes are having thousands of people come out. It's all going great and wonderful. Well, what happened, they knew that John McCain was going to be running for president. And we just hammered on John McCain. And I had run against him as a Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate in 2004. So this is into, you know, 5, 6, around in there, and 7, you know, right before the Ron Paul revolution. And there was a telecommunications company, I think it was out of Colorado, that kept offering more. And he wound up buying the radio station we were on for like twice, three times what it was worth. And, you know, the general manager there working for a large corporation out of Florida. And it was like, there's nothing, you know, they just, you throw enough money at it and you're gone. And that was their focus. Then they went and they went to the station and so on. It was never quite the same, but it was to get the criticism off of the government and McCain in particular. They are willing to spend and do whatever they can get away with to do it. And if it just throw a little money at it, boom. Well, I'm of the impression that Free Talk Live and LRN and the Liberty Community and the Free State Project and so on, they're not for sale. There wasn't, you know, anyone even, you know, be tapped or coerced into being an informant. They would turn on the government. They would, you know, tell everybody, hey, they're trying to get me informed. They're doing so. The Liberty community, as from their perspective, you know, hovers around Free Talk Live, around the nation. They had to stop you. They have to go after this. You are not going away, and damn it, they won't, and they will not have it. It's like the scene from Network with Ned Beatty. So I can see this building up. And in fact, I am surprised that you have been able to get away with it as long as you have. And that's kind of been, I got the feeling that you're kind of waiting for the shoe to drop on this stuff too. What's been your opinion?
Oh, well, I'm a nervous wreck is really the answer. I got sick day before yesterday, and I've just been, you know, like I got COVIDs or something. I have no idea. And last night I woke up at 2:30 in the morning and kind of, you know, skulked about the house with a red light so it didn't ruin my night vision. At 5:20, I went out. These two raids have occurred at 6 a.m. So I went out at 5:20 to, you know, circle the neighborhood in my car and see if the cops were collected down at the cop shop, and there was, of course, nobody there. And then, oh man, I'm trying to build a second studio and where they don't know where it is. And so that I can just flip it and, and, you know, start all over once they come in and destroy my studio again, because my expectation is they will.
Yeah, and a lot of the terror and the distraction is them doing to you what they've done, is just to make you think they're there all the time. They eat and sleep, to make sure you're not as healthy, to give you this kind of distraction, to get you to move stuff, to do things. So I don't know. They want you to have the impression that they got all these resources targeted on you and they're listening to this, or if they're not live, they will be later, you know? And that's kind of the win. And I don't know. I mean, this is one thing that you guys kind of do, you know, it's the empowerment of the audience. It's the people to understand what's happening, that they got to be a light also. Quit counting on them basking in yours all the time. You know, they're going to have to be decentralized, which is why we're focusing on this decentralized communication so much, which we have made great progress in, by the way. So I don't know what they're going to do when we unleash the people, and they are unleashed, which is coming. And I think this is desperation because of that. And it takes the form of the money and crypto. And me and my son, we were really focused last night and started doing some research and everything on this silver short squeeze and, you know, what's happening there. The banks are in trouble. And I'm thinking that this next time, they're not going to survive the opinion, the general public opinion of the people, which is that they suck. And to replace, I don't know, whatever fantasy we have about government's going to help us with, you just need to fear us and get over it and understand that we want you to do what we're telling you to do. That doesn't work for any length of time, I don't think. I mean, what do you think is happening in this country? Where are we descending to? This is not a good sign. What do you think is going to happen over the next year?
To me, what you're saying is clear and obvious. They've been doing it for some time. Recently, they stopped reporting. They sent out a little memo, one of the most important news stories of the last year, and it got almost no coverage because, of course, President Biden stumbled going up some stairs or whatever the nonsense of the day is. Sadly, the American people, by and large, are spoon-fed bland pablum. But the story where they are stopping reporting M1 and M2. We made a huge deal about it when they stopped reporting M3 probably 15 years ago. Yeah. And fundamentally, you have no control. I mean, like, the basics of accounting is to know how many things you have, you know? And we don't know how many dollars there are because they're not going to report them anymore. I mean, how can we even talk about having a financial industry if we don't even know how many dollars we have? It's just them doing their thing, and it's transparently bad news for them.
Yeah. Well, Mark, explain. All right, real quick, M1, M2, M3, what they were doing is they had the money supply, how many dollars there were. And when they stopped reporting that, there were other mechanisms by which you could, you know, derive it from. And there were different economists and so on said, fine, we don't need you to tell us how much. We can tell from this, this, and this. And they go, yeah, well, what if we stop reporting that, that, and that? Then what are you going to do? So, and it's just to the tune of gazillions. They're not even missing a beat. They do a couple of trillion on whatever the hell they just did. And they're going to do another few trillion on an infrastructure, this and that. And then you find out that most of the money they did went overseas. I mean, it's just paying off people. And that was one thing after Trump won in 16, the biggest thing that they had to do was convince all these other governments and leadership and they, them, those, and the club of we rule you around the country. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. We'll take care of it. 4 years, we'll be in charge again. You'll get your money. And here it came. So this has been a payoff and at your expense, and the currency is, this has been a coup on America. It was obvious. I knew it was going to be done through election law because that was what got me going back in the early 90s. And which was the worst county in the nation? Maricopa. And the thing has been, I think we've been almost training them as time goes on when you out this stuff. So, oh, yeah, we got to do this and we need to hide that and we got to make sure of this. And then a lot of it is still out in the open, but, you know, they're, yeah. And then you get Dominion is suing people left and right for outing them of what they're doing. They're going, yeah. And where's your evidence? You know? So I don't know where this goes as far as America. Everybody's so concerned about America, and America, the ship of state, is the Titanic going down. And everybody's so worried about saving the ship of state, they're not worrying about the people. I'm going, man, you need to be making rafts out of wooden doors or something. Man, you need to be, you know, the Carpathia's coming by, go save your something. But, you know, trying to save the ship is a waste of time, because the ship was there to defend the rights of the individuals on it. That was their point. If they're not doing that, then what the hell good are they? So our nostalgia or our wishing that America would go back to, you know, I'm not even sure going back to what, you know, it was always from certainly after the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration of Independence, and when they, a decade later, they do the Constitution, it was definitely to rule you. They got all kinds of, well, you get to have a say, but, you know, and that say has been gone for a long time. So the idea of liberty, the idea of the purpose of America, the shining light on the hill, the what it represented and the reasons why and all these institutions were there for is what Free Talk Live has been chipping away at with a freaking sledgehammer for years, got a decade or more. So that is what is the focus of this. You're not allowed to bitch. You just shut up and do what you know we want you to do. And that what happened in the hearing on Ian, when the government was pissed off that he didn't tell him where all his crypto assets were. And the answer was, you never asked. You know, right.
It was hilarious.
We wanted to know. He should have told us anyway. And I'm like, shut up. You know, we got to do your work for you too. I mean, this God, man, that was so indicative of exactly how they think. So anyway, give me a rant, man, you know, shut me up.
I have to agree with you. The concept of patriotism has always been a concept to ensnare the little guy. These big guys don't care about the country. They don't care about flags and eagles and fireworks and all that stuff. That's just to get you to send your children to fight and die for them. And that's ultimately what it is just to make it all this pomp and circumstance to make people excited about it. And yeah, there's a little bit of bread and circuses to make everybody happy, but that's just enough. It's just enough. These people who are at the top have no relationship to patriotism. They don't care about that stuff. It's not meaningful to them. And that's the attitude that we have to adopt. Frankly, if I can find more freedom by traveling south of the border to Mexico, that's where I'm going to go. If I can find more freedom, you know, wherever it is, that's where I'm going to go. So...
let's talk about that for a minute, because this has been a big thing, you know, certainly over the last year with the lockdowns and everything, which has affected Donna and I and our family almost none, because we just don't wear masks. And when they say we have to, we just leave. You know, it's wallet voting. I go, you know, we even had in Texas, it was the day after the governor had lifted their mask mandates, and we went into a Mexican restaurant, which we always do. We just go in a restaurant, they seat us or they don't. Oh, you have to have a mask. Okay. And we just turn around and walk out. You know, I mean, we don't argue with them. I'm not going to make a, you know, if you don't want us, fine, screw you, you know, but and which has happened a few times, but not as often as you think. It's probably at least 75, 80% of they just put you at your table and everybody just wonders what the hell is going on. I go into.
Yeah, it's ridiculous when it comes to these restaurants. The idea that, you know, you've got to wear a mask to the table. You know, you don't wear a mask up to the door. You put your mask on to walk into the hostess station and then walk to your table, and then you can sit down and you can take your mask back off. I mean, it's really bizarre behavior, and it has to be completely intended to show everybody's fidelity towards our new geriatric leader. I mean, it's so strange.
It's strange, and it may be bullshit and stupid, but it is definitely a Sieg Heil requirement of they're demonstrating, look what we can make them do. Oh, we can do two masks and three masks and make them take and I'm going, this is just, they're just having fun. I mean, they go, watch this, you know? I mean, it's just really weird. And the compliance level, it won't stop. It never stopped. But when we were going into the Texas Mexican restaurant and we go, okay, you have to have Matt, and we just turned around, they ran after us in the parking lot and escorted us back into the restaurant. Oh, no, it's okay. We changed their mind. They said it's okay. Something. I don't know. They're, you know, just wanted us back in because they saw the issues in business and they didn't have to do it by law, I guess. But I am, you know, I really am not, haven't been that affected other than my surprise at how many people comply. And it has been a good example has been going to outdoor soccer games for my grandkids, and all these tournaments and everything require, and you have to, and they have signs out, and you won't be refunded, and most of the people will comply. Even some of the kids are wearing masks while they're running around, which is stupid. And so I'm just like, no, we're not doing it. And if they say anything, just leave. Well, I got that, you know, old man, middle-aged, you know, white man thing going on where I'm invisible. They just don't bother me, I guess. So it hasn't been really a thing. Now, every now and then somebody else, you know, move, or could you step back? You know, you don't have a mask or say, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, I don't care. You know, it happens, you know, every now and then, you know, like twice, you know, over a year. But the thing is that the second that the governor here said, oh, you don't have to have your mask anymore, boom, they came off. Now, some people keep hearing them because I don't know why, but then
they're good Democrats.
we went to a zoo. They have a private zoo here in the West Valley in Phoenix. It's a big zoo. I mean, you know, it's got the lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And we go with 135 homeschool kids. That was kind of a co-op that one of my daughters belongs in. And so like six or seven of our grandkids went, had a bunch of other families, hardly any masks. Nobody's wearing masks. So if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I don't give a crap. You know, it's just this force thing. But what was interesting to me, and this is before the governor had released, didn't mandate that you have them or whatever the hell that means, but they just don't. So it's definitely a certain mindset. The homeschool crowd, no mask. You know, if you're, you know, a big MAGA Trump guy or something, not so many masks unless it says Trump on it or something. And I'm sorry.
Oh, no, some weird noise came out of the audio there.
Yeah, it was me coughing.
Okay.
You know, so I'm just, I'm seeing this stuff happen, and it's more, I expect it from the government and what they're doing because they can't. You know, there's another agenda, but it's how much they have altered and changed the people and their requirement in their own mind to comply. That is what has surprised me. And it's a small minority of people that just a certain mindset of, yeah, but it's stupid, so I'm not doing it. They go, well, it doesn't matter if it's stupid. It's government stupid. We've got all kinds of government stupid that you got to do it because it's government stupid. But I'm going, no, they're going to have to make me. And I noticed that over the last year, my wife and I, and you know, a lot of people we're working on the bus, we're doing different stuff, getting ready for the trip and everything. Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, Harbor Freight, all these auto parts stores don't wear a mask, go straight up to the customer service. They're wearing a mask and say, help me find why. I do it intentionally. I want to know right off the bat. I need help finding whatever. And they don't say nothing. They walk me around. All the other customers are going, what the hell is going on? How come they're not making him wear a mask? You know, just setting the example that if you just don't, and a lot of times nobody even says anything. And that right there has been our biggest outreach, is just being the example of the just not worrying about it. But the people that did were all the ones with specific kinds of licenses. It was restaurants. They got the health department, a guy with a shiny clipboard going after him. It's always the county. We saw this in the mid-90s. They have been coming after at the county level, all the sustainable development, all of the building permits, all the health permits. The other thing was is telecommunications. If you go into a Verizon or a T-Mobile or anything like that, and I go, tell me you guys take these masks off, you know, when the customers are gone. And one young guy pointed at me, he pointed in one corner, he goes, camera, 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 camera. They're constantly monitoring them. And because they have a federal license to operate, that's how they control them. The same with the airlines. There, somebody has got, you will comply, Sieg Heil. You are going to do whatever the hell we tell you to do. It's the right kind of mask. You're going to be setting the example of. Doesn't matter if it, you know, doesn't work or not, doesn't matter. It's from coercion and fear of coercion. We have been talking about this for like 30 years. And I'm going, this is exactly the symptom. It's the Star David on your sleeve. This is what they're doing. This turns into what, Mark?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if Americans can believe that you put a dirty rag over your face that's been sitting in your cup holder for 2 weeks and somehow that's for health, they'll believe anything.
A wet mask is even better. They said it.
What's that? Two masks is better than one?
No, yeah. Wet one. A moist. Oh, yeah. The moist mask with all that crap in it is, because it's something. I don't, screw them. You know, I don't, sure as hell, don't repeat and don't comply with unsafe bullshit from the government. I mean, you know, this is turning into something else. There's going to be something else, and it's going to be things like cryptocurrency. This is why now's the time that they had to go after you. And they waited until you guys got like $10 million in gross, which is nothing, you know, on just trade of anything. Hell, you know, my restaurant would do that, you know. So this is stupid. So there's a message being sent here by somebody for something. What do you think it is?
I think the message, I think it's pretty clear that they don't like Free Talk Live being on the air. And that's ultimately what they want to do, is take us off the air, because we just say mean things about the government too often. So, you know, I mean, my goal is to keep us on the air. Look, if they want to keep Ian in jail and next 2 years before his speedy trial, well, I guess that's what they get to do, because I can't do anything about that. But I can do something about keeping Free Talk Live on the airwaves.
How many states are you in?
I think we're in all of them.
Wow. They need y'all, man. You're just, see what they don't understand. It's like going after terrorists. If we kill these 5,000 terrorists, then we won't have terrorists anymore. And they don't realize they created 30,000. You know, I mean, they don't see it coming. And I know they don't. So that's why we've been so focused on making sure, you know, the signal goes everywhere, and, you know, and people will find it. You know, we're going to be Mr. Universe, and our efforts are really paying off. We got, you know, we'll talk about it later. The audience knows, but we are making great advancements in hardware and software. And this is going to be where they can't stop the signal. I don't know I always knew what the goal was. It has been to capture, increase the general public opinion, whatever it is that they want. And they will use any means, PSYOP, social media, whatever, to get it. And I think they're starting to lose the audience. And it's like, you know, now screw Facebook. And, you know, my kids, my daughters, what was interesting is the women in my family, you know, most of them, I have, you know, four daughters and daughter-in-laws and, you know, families and a bunch of grandkids and everything. About a year and a half ago, they just kind of collectively decided they're just not doing Facebook anymore. They stopped. You know, the family has its own group text and they do what I got through they wanted to talk to anyway. And I'm just good. And I didn't have to really, you know, make a big campaign of it and everything other than I just don't do it. They go, well, we put it on Facebook. I go, well, there was your first problem because I don't look, you know. Mm-hmm. If you see something, you better send it to me because I'm not, you know, letting Zuckerberg see it first. Screw him, you know. So it's been a trend. How have I know you guys are all social media'd up. Tell me about that experience. How do you guys use social media now?
Well, Ian has hated Facebook for a long time. And I think that Facebook, it had its day and it was really great for, you know, sharing inspirational memes and pictures of the kids and things like that. But Facebook just didn't make me happy. When I go on there, I'd be unhappy because one of my friends is an idiot, right? And they'd say something that was wrong and I'd want to, you know, fix their logic. And it turns out people don't use logic and good rhetoric on the internet. They just want to push their agenda and they'll call you names and they'll do all kinds of things. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Facebook is a cesspool and I don't have any use for it.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's, you know, I don't mind social media and some of them, you know, that we support and work with and developing a relationship and creating our tech around and all this kind of stuff are always Liberty community people. You know, they're
You know, there's some great cryptocurrency.
I'm sorry.
There's some great social media out there. We use Mastodon, which is decentralized Twitter analog. And these sorts of things, but we don't have enough people on it to make everything sort of work. And so, you know, it's difficult because you need
to
network.
What I'm seeing that really has been the only social media that has I've really made more use of than any other has been Telegram. And
I love it.
You know, Telegram, one of the big things about it, the way you can structure groups and all that kind of stuff and control whatever, but the biggest thing is it's media. You know, you can load up a video or a graphic or a bunch of them. And I mean, it's just been really powerful. Of course, you got to have, you know, a good internet connection and they're going to start going to, you know, longer form formats of radio and TV and live, whatever the hell. And it's just going to turn into the same thing because it always turns into the same thing. And, but we have to go another route. That's why we're so focused on IPFS and we've been making great strides on that. And I tell you, just so you know, Mark, I mean, the audience already knows, but we have Raspberry Pis that we're turning into pirate boxes that anybody can use it for communicating and supporting other content providers and everything. We're already doing that. Think Penguin, you know, Chris Wade has computers now, they're Linux-based, open source, hardware, software kind of thing, as much as you can get. And he's sending it now. I should get it today or tomorrow. A new computer that is for content providers, it just posts, you know, it puts it up on, you know, the network. And then we have pirate boxes that the team is working on that the audience gets for Corbett and I. James Corbett and I do a show every week. And he and I have been pushing on this for years, getting everything ready. Our audience are going to be able to communicate and forward and be nodes for the content of the whole Liberty community. So we have, you know, Liberty libraries that we're putting up that are preloaded that, you know, nobody ever loses anything. And it's all automated. It pulls from our own web pages and republishes it on IPFS. Boom. And it's there that can't be censored. It can't be taken down. It can't be eliminated. It can't be stopped. Well, then what are they going to do? You know, so then we needed the hardware for it. So now we got Start9 Labs that has Raspberry Pis that they're having as your own personal server that you just put on your network and you can put it anywhere on any internet connection anywhere. And it uses Tor to be your own server. You can access all your own data. It can be encrypted if you want. You can do, and that's our Pirate Box software would just be an app on that device. So, you know, we hooked up with these guys at Float Fest, the social media, you know, we know Kingsley and Aaron well, and they are there. We met with their IT team, and for the first time, which is what I've been bitching about, I'm tired of chasing platforms all the time, and I have to reload stuff or, you know, scrape or have scripts take, you know, videos from here and there and YouTube and Vimeo and whatever that they're going to delete and replatform. I go, no, I'm not doing that anymore. We are going to be the source you pull from us. So Float is taking the content that we have and populating our platform for our accounts with the data that they pull from our own servers using IPFS. The benefit to them, and they're all excited about it, is because the IPFS storage is what provides the content, and they don't have to increase server space. It's just, they just have links on the platform, and it goes straight to the content that we and our audience provide. So it's done. You know, I don't know what the bad guys are going to do. I know, but it's the idea of decentralized, distributed information that they can't censor. So we're demonstrating this now with the hardware and software and cooperation of other platforms that want to do it. So we're like, you know, okay, you want us to go on BitChute or Library or Minds or Steam or fine. Then you pull from us like Float does. I am not loading to 15 gazillion different places all the time. Then you sell out for $200 million to the man, yeah, and you're done, you know, or they send you a memo and a, you know, subpoena of you're not allowed. I'm going, I'm not doing it anymore. And then the people, because I tell you, Mark, I saw when this happened, it was 2013. It was when Google had stopped their aggregation of RSS feeds, because everything was RSS, really simple syndication. And yep, put it out, and these feeds, people would curate their own list. They would go, okay, I'm going to take the top 10 on this, a little bit on that, and so on. You'd have like a Freedom's Phoenix aggregator that you did yourself. You would craft your own news, however you wanted to do it. Once Google realized what was going on, boom, they stopped it. And the reason was, is because they wanted to tell you what to think. They wanted to push content to you. Every time you turned on your browser on your phone, boom, here's all the stories of everything you need to know about everything. They were the ones that were generating what the conversation was, what the opinion was. This is how they ruled your mind. And they didn't want you to be able to do it yourself. That's why they hate aggregators that have a perspective like Freedom's Phoenix, or a radio show like Declare Your Independence, or a network like LRN, and sure as hell Free Talk Live. So they need to control the narrative. They need to be the source of the news, and they sure shit don't want to have a counter to that that's articulate, well-reasoned, logical, and on every state in the union. They just hell no. So this is why we were focusing on the decentralization and the distribution of data that we create, we curate, and the people have access to be their own aggregators. That's what's happening. And this is what I learned when they went after your studios, that the people that were using Free Talk Live and LRN and our show and a bunch of these other resources, they were the ones that were replicating and disseminating this information on various different platforms, even themselves or even pirate FM radio stations. This is cannot be allowed to happen. And I've seen this before. It's history of the entire planet. It was dissent in China, in Russia, in Eastern Europe, in, you know, South America, Central America. All these dictators, they always had to shut down the dissenting radio and television stations first. That is what they do. This is what, and we would make fun of it as a country. You're like Reagan, you know, be all, you know, freedom is, and this is freedom, and the goal is freedom, you know, and now it's gone to the point where, you know, they are open about it, and it's your patriotic duty to turn all Karen and Lon Nazi on everybody and turn, you know, this is what we're at now. So what is the solution? what I always knew it was going to be, the free flow of ones and zeros. And they're going after the DNS domain system, which is why we had to bypass that. They are going to go after ISPs, your service providers. You're not allowed to do. We even had audience member from a retired guy from Massachusetts kept following. He's like, what the hell is, he went all the way up. He kept, you know, we're look, it's not us. It's not us. It's not us. And what it was is he could not forward on his Cox email a Freedom's Phoenix link. They would not allow it. So he went all the way up, and there is some specialist that sure as hell is, you know, complied with in Massachusetts, that if you have a freedomsphoenix.com link in one of our news stories or something, sure as hell, if it says something they don't like, you can't forward it on your email. And I'm going, well, here we go. So this has been so obvious to me that we have to get off the dependence on their system. What did you think was going on? And they go, oh, Tor. Tor was the creation of the Department of Defense under the Navy intelligence. What do you think is going on? You know, the internet is Department of Defense. So I'm just going, this is so, we got to stop being stupid. So I'm in the licensing and now, so I'm done with it. And I'm just doing everything I can to create an infrastructure so that we can still maintain our connections and the community. But this is my question. Everybody wants you to join their community. Everybody wants you to move, you know, freedom. Oh, we got to go and be, you know, the Free State Project, and everybody moved to New Hampshire. Everybody's got to be on the hippie commune, and we put a L after it, and it's a libertarian voluntarist of, you know, tragedy of the commons. Everybody's got to be, you know, there's strength in numbers. I'll give you that. But what is the structure? What's the HOA of your community? How are you going to do this? You know, what do you think in the future? We don't starve and we got enough food and we be left alone and we're, you know, educating our kids the way we want and they're not children of the state. How are we going to protect ourselves from that mentality and this forced compliance, Mark? What's your plan?
Well, I've long since decided that being inside the geographic area that they call the United States is dangerous, especially in a state. I went over to the U.S. Marianas last year, became a resident because, you know, it's pretty independent of the U.S. And as a resident, I can be there as much as I want. But I, you know, at this point, any place in the world where the FBI can just walk into my studio and start pulling wires out with impunity is too close to the feds as far as I'm concerned. So I'm looking to set a studio up outside the U.S. someplace. Did I lose you, Ernie? It says you're muted, Ernie.
Oh, nope. I'm sorry. Are you going to go satellite? Are you going to be, you know, broadcasting, you know, using the internet? Or I mean, what's your plan if you're going to be out of the U.S. and communicating with? You know,
when it comes to radio, there's always bottlenecks. What you're talking about, a decentralized intranet, is a great idea, and I support it 100%. It's just that, you know, it's not going to work for what we do because the radio stations themselves, they want the content delivered in a fashion that that they're used to. I'd love to deliver it to them on the internet so that they, you know, they've just got it and they don't need to ask questions, but they don't want that. So I've got to go through Westwood One up on the Bird and get beamed down to 200 stations across the U.S.
Okay, so, you know, satellite, I know that you and Ian, you know, I had like different opinions on him doing the satellite, and I was supportive of the satellite because over the years, how many people actually used it? You know, when I go to rural areas, you know, or different festivals and so on, a lot of people that, you know, knew who I was or, you know, came to meet or whatever is because of the satellite. And they're going, damn, because they're in rural areas that don't have radio coverage. So I'm just going, okay, so it's a thing, you know, so I'm going, okay, what's the future of satellite? And this was North America and Africa and what, I mean, you guys are pissing off a bunch of people. I mean, you know, what role you think the satellite plays and what's its future?
Well, I don't know as far as the satellite goes, but we're going to keep it on the air. Ian liked it, and we're going to keep it on the air. That's basically it. You know, ultimately, it's a partnership, he and I doing this thing. And just because I don't like something and Ian happens to go to jail doesn't mean we're going to stop doing it. You know, he's made lots of compromises in the past to keep me happy, and I'm going to make compromises to keep him happy. So my goal is to deliver Free Talk Live to as many people as possible, and whatever way they want to get it is the way I want to deliver it to them. And that's what I got to do. And that's that. We've been blessed with some abundance regarding cryptocurrency, and we are going to use that to benefit the venue that brought it to us. And that's Free Talk Live.
Well, will it always have to be terrestrial radio? I mean, is there other, because I you know, a good example was like Joe Rogan, when he was on YouTube and they're just being jerks about whatever the hell. And then all of a sudden here comes a Spotify thing. Well, of course, then we just had a story on Freedom's Phoenix last couple of days that you know, he said, oh no, Spotify doesn't censor me. And he kind of let it slip that they did, you know?
Yeah.
And so you're always going to be, you know, $100 million will buy a little bit of censorship. So I'm, just, you know, I'm, you know, I mean, if you're going to be a hoe, don't be a cheap hoe, you know, don't be a crack hoe, you know, be expensive escort. I mean, you know, the answer is always yes. It's just how much. Well, $100 million was a yes for Rogan to be a little bit of something, you know? So I'm just, yep. I'm wondering if you're looking for the next medium, you know, mechanism, or you're waiting for it to be created, because I'm feeling like the, you know, the Spotify thing or whatever, it's just had to have, you know, the criteria that I wanted. IPFS, there was just Derek just sent me, an IT guy, sent me a video of a news thing on Filecoin, which was the foundation for IPFS, and that they're still working on the software of how you get paid and not be gamed and all that. I'm like, I don't care. I go, so what you're telling me is that we can have decentralized and distributed information that the people are the nodes for, and I can just buy the equipment myself and do it with Raspberry Pi. I mean, that's where the Raspberry Pi came from, because it's got 8 gig RAM now and it freaking works. And I'm going, well, hell, for $35, I can do it, right? And I go, well, then let's do that. So we started developing that. Well, it was never really intended to be, you know, doing that. They wanted people to be incentivized for being a node by getting paid for the storage and the distribution of the data. Well, while they're working on that, and I'm not even sure they can do that, you know, I go, you know how much I would pay to be able to do that? You mean I can store all this data and the audience just kind of has all this Liberty community stuff that's available to everybody that can't be censored? I mean, you can do that, right, with this? And they go, well, yeah, but you don't get paid. I'm going, get paid? You know how much you can pay for that? You know, you guys are so stupid. Get out of my way and watch this. So we did it. Well, now that mindset is there, I see what will come from that will be an enormous amount of desire, demand, and distribution of data to the point that people will be their own aggregators, kind of like Freedom's Phoenix. It'll be the same, just like Spotify or Pandora or anything like that, that will be built on this without a permission slip, without having to have compliance of anything. And all that they need is access to the ones and zeros. And if that is what is in the way of the man, they are going to have to, at the root, control the flow of ones and zeros. And that means the internet is done as we know it now. So it has to be mesh networking, UHF, satellites, CubeSats, whatever. And I need to know how far up Uncle Sam's butt Elon Musk is with Starlink. So we're going to fuck here pretty soon. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be, and here we go. Yesterday, they were going to launch, you know, SN11. This is going to be this Starship to Mars, and it's going to go up and land, and it's doing, and it keep getting better. And then all of a sudden, they canceled it yesterday because the FAA inspector that they said they now have to have on site when they launch couldn't get there in time for the launch window that they had. Oh, our government inspector is, he's at the donut shop, so he can't get there, so you can't launch your gazillion-dollar rocket. Really? I love when you guys do that crap. You guys just keep that shit up. That is awesome, because who did you piss off? A bunch of rocket nerds and everything is going, I don't think we need government so much. So this is, they just keep being stupid. So my thing is, Mark, as I share this with you in the audience, is that my goal has been to make ones and zeros stored, unfensorable, and disseminated without a permission slip. It will take care of itself, and I don't need the radio waves, or I can use them anyway. What are you going to do about it if you got 15 gazillion everywhere? And we have the ones and zeros that are being aggregated and distributed over many different methods by the people. When that happens, and you can equate it to the printing press. When I first started doing radio in 03, I had a guy, I remember this clearly. His name was Milton Bearden, I think. And he was the section chief in charge of West Germany and the CIA. He was a head whippy-dipping or some New York Times author that wrote a book about whatever. And he was on too, and I didn't care what he had to say. He's getting all pissed off because I didn't want to talk about his book and sell him whatever. What I wanted to talk about is, how do you win a Cold War? How did you, what did you do? What was the most effective way of advocating for freedom? And I go, to me, it seems that you just take the Declaration of Independence, translate it into whatever language and just dump a bunch of flyers everywhere. And he goes, in fact, that was the most effective thing that the intelligence community ever did, was printed material in their language to the people. That was it.
And as a species, we long for freedom. I mean, it's just the truth. Admittedly, we aren't always great with it, but I mean, we have to have it. And without it, we languish and we're, it's one of the fundamental needs of humans. And so freedom speaks to them. And obviously those in power, they don't really speak that language. They don't understand that language. And it's the single biggest advantage that we have is talking the language of freedom.
It's very powerful. It never goes away. And I always know in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. Well, here comes the mess, because in the end, they have to change us. And I keep saying this, I almost feel like, I don't know. I don't think I had to convince them. I mean, they're going to do it anyway if they could. And I think with the vaccinations, the GMOs, the plastics, the environment, and whatever the hell, if they can maintain, enhance, and expand their control and intrusiveness over the individual to benefit them, they will. They sure as hell want to. I mean, that's why I always say that. I go, they are going to do it. And it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And people didn't understand what I meant by it. I go, you're going to see it. It's obvious. Of course, they're changing this law and doing this thing and manipulating that and regulating this and permit slip for that. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's Monday and your freedom's gone and you're wearing three masks. I'm going, what'd you think was going to happen? Of course they're going to do it. Why? Because they want to. And the psychopaths and sociopaths, of the planet have gravitated towards the shiny badge of "we rule you." And then they go kicking in your door and they got to use their little, ram thing to bust in a window because they can, It's all theater.
If they didn't use the bear cat to bust in the window, what would they have possibly done to justify the bear cat? I mean,
right. They need a bear cat for you.
Time to head it. That's right.
It's that was a big thing. When they started doing the bear cat, it was a big protest. I remember years ago, Free Talk Live and the Free State Project and everybody and us and LRN, we just, who the hell needs a bear cat? What the hell are you guys doing? Well, they got to justify it. And we needed it on people that were bitching about it. See?
Yep. That's exactly right. We had to, they had to show us that bitching about the Bearcat has consequences. And they apparently did. So,
well, who do you think you're up against? I mean, it was the New Hampshire or team police or the sheriff or New Hampshire state?
Oh, it was everybody.
It
was the FBI, the Treasury, the Keene police, the state police. It was everybody. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They love their jurisdictional overlap.
You know, I had a good friend that, you know, was we knew from another friend, and I'll tell you who it was. You know, Mark J. Victor, Attorneys for Freedom Out, you know, law. He was a Marine during Gulf War I in a foxhole in Kuwait. Well, his foxhole buddy and his best friend over the years was a guy named Lundberg. Now, David Lundberg, he's retired now, so I can say his name, but he was the sergeant at the Phoenix Police Department that was the liaison with the Fusion Center in the FBI. Now, this is at a time when they were saying, Fusion Center, what's that? There's no such thing as a Fusion Center, you tinfoil hat wearing. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so we had John Bush and Kat came here, and we got them an interview with one of the lieutenants here at the Fusion Center. And I'm going, they had their defuse project, you know. And it's so amazing the BS that these guys do. Well, of course they have it. Well, his email was, you know, dlundberg@fbi.gov. And I go, what the hell? I thought you were sergeant in the Phoenix Police Department. He goes, we're just one big happy family. And I'm going, yep, say no more, man. And then I remember him saying things like they would go and, you know, there'd be, you know, search terms that different people would do, or, you know, guys would be looking at stuff. And we had to go explain it to them or let them know that, you know, you shouldn't say that. Or, you know, there'd be teams that would cultivate that. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we need, yeah, you need, you know, more guns and bombs and stuff. You know, this is how they do it. They got plenty of people that they're surveilling that are looking for the right thing. They got the right mindset. That's why all these guys that do these shootings or whatever, they're just kind of off a little bit. And they got an algorithm and an AI for that. They'll just, you know, give this guy, you know, a couple of coupons and he'll go whatever. You know, it's just, I can see it happening. And it wasn't like I thought it was going on. I knew. So I'm going, how do you combat that? Well, I just ignored it. You know, I just don't care. I know it's going on. And what's the solution? The solution was always non-censorable communication between individuals. Now, humanity will figure it out on their own. So they had to change humanity. They have to get a shot in you. They have to have a mechanism with mRNA to change you physically. You have to be a different person. You are mRNA shots equal GMO humans, and they need GMO humans to comply with all their BS. I don't think so. I know so. This is their mechanism and vector for what they're doing. If the school and mass indoctrination doesn't work and people start homeschooling, man, we just need to get in their cereal and Cheerios or something, you know? And this is what's happening. So then you have Freedom Community is, you know, big on not smearing the man all over you in the form of whatever detergent or soap or deodorant or, you know, perfume or whatever. You know, all these vectors that they're influencing the way you physically are, your body, how it reacts, and your illnesses and your immune system and vaccines, all that stuff. You just go, no, we're good. We're going to trust that our body's immune system is going to be better. Nope, nope, nope. You're not allowed. You're going to be forced into this, you know, taking a shot, which is what the big point of the Love Bus Liberty Tour is about, is to stop the forced inoculation by the crown. Notions and potions by the man stuck into your flesh, and they put the plunger down, and that of your kids and grandkids. This is the turning point. So that is a hill that I'll tell you out in the open. This is one hill I'm willing to die on. Now, whether I'm willing to kill, you know, I'm more creative than that, you know, but if you're going to go out and kill, I mean, who are you going to kill? I mean, that's not going to work. You know, that's not that. That just
doesn't work.
We want you to do.
No, that I mean, they are an institution of violence, and that's what they understand, and that's what they're ultimately trying to get everybody to do. Because, you know, so many of people in the liberty movement are male, and you know, males have been fighting the bad guy for a long time. You see a threat, you want to stop it. It's the knee jerk reaction, and it's understandable, but it's not the way to solve the problem. Never has been, because you're never going to outgun the people who make the biggest guns. And you know, just forget it.
You know, it's one thing. Jay Noon is really good at this. They tell him wear a mask. He's got something. He goes, I don't take orders from pedophile and warmongers.
Right. Well, I just say to him, oh, I haven't breathed since March. Are you still breathing? And they get so confused when I do it that they just kind of wander off. You know, I just stand there and adamantly, you know, claim that I'm not breathing. So, you know,
I don't
good, a crazy person. And it's like, I use your line from voting. You still breathing?
Ben, I'm just not, this is not going to be a political thing. I saw an interview, Dr. Frank, we do the, you know, tyranny report now, you know, it was the Trump report for like 5 years. And he sent me a video of this 21-year-old young black man, I think in Atlanta, that started his own private school for, you know, black youth that were just being indoctrinated. And he's a conservative, you know, he's like, you know, but he said, you know, politics and voting is not where it's going to be at. He was like, no, we got to train people to be men, you know, and that kind of thing. He's 21 years old. And he had this black talk show host that's on there. No, you got to vote. I mean, the whole first 5 minutes is, I just got it hurt. I had to skip through it. I just couldn't take it. He's going on this guy that's actually doing something. And he's in everything that his solution, everything was voting. And the kid is like, why do you say, yeah, I'll vote, don't vote, I don't care. You know, that's not where we're going to have the solution. No, it's about voting. And that's where I had a lot of opportunities to go on some bigger networks. And I think that's been, you know, the kill switch on everything is that I don't vote. And I'm not advocating voting. I don't see voting as a solution. And it has been made clear to me that it's that's keeping me from being broadcasted. And I go, fine, you know, I'm going to create my own anyway, you know, just for everybody. And I don't care because I'm not going down that road. If you think voting is going to set you free, you have not been paying attention.
Yeah, it's just a treadmill, honestly. I mean, they made it pretty clear that, you know, they're in control. They undermined Bernie Sanders. They undermined Ron Paul. They undermined Bernie Sanders. And, you know, somehow we're supposed to be happy with, you know, the geriatric Jesus because he got rid of Orange Hitler. I mean, it is insane.
Yeah, this Biden thing has to be just, I mean, it's so bad that it's not even funny making fun of it. I mean, it's just, it gives them too much, I don't know, it gives them too much buoyancy even talking about him. I mean, I can't even... I go, it's done. It's over. That's not where the solutions lie anymore. Even criticizing this administration, because it's the Harris administration. I mean, just get over it, you know? And I am really, and then the fact that we got a female vice president in their minds means so much. And it was never about gender. Nobody gave a crap about that. It's philosophy. And these guys' philosophy is so clear. What do you think it is? What do you think they're trying to make sure that people understand what they're about?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. It amuses me. Everybody so excited about Kamala Harris. I mean, you know, Kamala Harris is the greatest danger to the black community in California that they'd ever seen. But somehow we're supposed to be excited because of her color and gender. These are about the most boring aspects of any individual out there. Like, these are the things you were born with, not the things that you have become. I don't want to celebrate my birthday. I want to celebrate the achievements of my life, and not the things that I'm not responsible for, but for the things that I am responsible for. And this whole shtick where they're constant, well, it's It's basically it's the conversation of three-year-olds. So, you know, you take a three-year-old out to the road and he says, there's a red car, there's a blue car, there's a green car, right? And like he's looking at the color as they go by because colors are important to it. Well, you know, I don't care what color it is. I care about what, you know, when it comes to a politician, I care about how much of my freedom are they going to take away. And Kamala Harris is definitely going to take as much as she can get. I think that it's heartening because if what they think is the solution is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, then we still have an opportunity to win.
Win what? I mean, what do you think win is?
Winning the hearts and minds of people. I think that, you know, people have to understand that they're all that. You know, they're all about control and they want control. And if you can simply see that that's what they're about, then you've already looked behind the curtain. If you can look behind the curtain, then you can continue to look behind the curtain over and over again. And that's the first step.
You know, one thing that's really, cryptocurrency, we get back to that, is that's a big threat to them. Now, of course, they want, you know, goldmansucks.gov coin. I mean, you know, they're wanting a crypto. They love crypto when it, you know, tells them everything they want to know about what you did in real time. And so Bitcoin has been about compliance. I mean, from the beginning, you know, it has been targeted and got 15 gazillion examples of it. And they need to, the new banking is mining. And then they're going to make sure that they get whatever they want, and they're going to track everything they do and you do, and they're all about that. And I don't have a problem with that if, as long as it's voluntary. I mean, if I want to track my donation to the Red Cross or where my crypto went and everything, cool. You know, I can do that. All right, do that. But when it comes to, you know, private interactions that I just assume keep private, they're like, oh, hell, you're not allowed. And I'm going, okay, why? And I remember that, you know, Obama's going, hey, everybody's walking around with a Swiss bank account in their pocket. Well, hell, Swiss bank accounts have been compromised, you know? So cryptocurrency allows, you know, the ultimate privacy. And I'm going, that they cannot allow. So when technology has, you know, we got Monero and other things that they promise security, I mean, we'll see, but I'm going, of course they don't want that. Because then you have free speech in wallet voting that you can give someone money. Because we went through this when they did WikiLeaks. They go, nope, Visa, MasterCard shut down. You're not allowed. PayPal, not allowed. Crypto, damn it. We can't stop it, you know. So this is, they see any break in the control and flow of access to people through general public opinion and their ability to express it or to keep your radio station going. And that is one thing, like you admitted that, you know, crypto been very good to you and from the beginning. And, you know, Bitcoin Jesus, Roger Ver of Bitcoin Cash, you know, he credits Free Talk Live with, you know, helping explain this new phenomenon that came on, and he took full advantage of it. So now it's the Liberty community that's coming out with this stuff. And I'm going, what we have been doing with using this, you know, decentralization of data in all its forms, not just in crypto, but in the storage and dissemination of information that they can't stop. They have to try and put a lid on that. But I did it in such a way that for years of just slow burn, building up on boom, and there it's done. And it's not any one person. It's an entire movement. Now what? I don't know, but if they can, they will. What do you think that they, well, they're willing to do anything, but what do you think the counter to this is going to be?
Well, what I'm hoping is that people will go to thecrypto6.com and support the activists here so that we can get attorneys so that everybody can be protected as best we can. Ernie, I've got a 10:30 appointment that I've got to hit right now, but please, it's thecrypto6.com.
The crypto six as in S-I-X?
Well, it's either. Yeah. It's either the numeral or the word, the crypto6.com.
Okay, so it's not six, F-I-X, it's six. Got it.
Six is in the
crypto6.com.
Yep.
The crypto6.com. Mark Edge, thanks for spending this time with it. I think we're caught up, and we'll be working together if we can. You know, let me know when you guys got it fixed and tested, and then we'll worry about coming back on regular, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, peace, brother.
Bye.